Rookie receivers tend to struggle with Aaron Rodgers, or is it the other way around? We dive into the history, plus try and figure out what this could look like in 2022.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. What are we going to do?
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Come.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. You can follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Today on the show, we are going to dig into this phenomenon, if you want to call it that, of the rookie receiver with Aaron Rodgers. And this is different this season. Before we dive into a single statistic or a single example, a single number, I'm going to undercut all of it and say this season is so fundamentally different from every other season that Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers for one important reason. Every rookie receiver who has played for the Packers in the Aaron Rodgers era did so as a secondary target. None of them, not one, came in and was expected to be the guy when Aaron Rodgers was the starter. Now, that there had been players prior to that, and we assume there will be subsequent to the Devontae Adams trade where guys are going to be expected to come in and be the guy. Christian Watson is not going to come in and be the guy. Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Big Bob Tonyan, Aaron Jones, there's enough around this offense where I don't think anyone is going to expect him to come in and carry this passing game. They also drafted Romeo Dubs. They also have Amari Rodgers coming back. They also have Randall Cobb. There's enough in this passing game that he is not going to be relied on to be the guy. The calculations also change. If you don't have any options, like it was easy for Aaron Rodgers when Devontae Adams was a rookie and he could have thrown to Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb to say, yeah, I'd much rather do that than trust Devontae Adams. And we saw a little bit in 2015, the offense short circuit because Jordy Nelson tore his ACL, Randall Cobb was hurt, and Devontae Adams was hurt. Even though those guys played, they were hurt most of the year. This offense was a mess. It's Miles White. It's Jared Boykin. It guys who are just not fit to carry your offense. No offense to those guys. They're NFL players. But if you're going to be a playoff team, the Packers were, and they won a playoff game even with that group of guys. Because, by the way, their defense played well. And the running game was good enough because the offensive line was good to make this all work. We're going to talk a little bit of some of the schematic stuff later in the show. But part of this is on Aaron Rodgers, too, to say, I don't have a choice. I can't just lock in on Devontae Adams. I can't only throw to Alan Lazard when he's out there, or Randall Cobb when he's out there, or Big Bob Tonyan when he's out there. It has to be what we saw in 2018 when it was Devontae Adams and these other guys. And it just so happens, if you go back and look at rookie receivers in the Aaron Rodgers era, Justice Mosqueda over at Acme Pack and Company tweeted out this list. The most productive players, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is number one, 581 yards on 38 catches. That's 15 yards per catch with two touchdowns. Devontae Adams was second. He had 446. Randall Cobb was third, 375. Jordy Nelson, 4,366. Easy to forget. Jordy Nelson, not a useful player until like the second half of 2010. It took him almost three full seasons to really come into his own as a receiver. And it wasn't until 2011 that he really started to get going. And then Equanimeous St. Brown at 328. Two of those were in 2018 when it was Devontae Adams and a bunch of rookies. Aaron Rodgers had no choice but to get them the ball. It's going to be that like times five this season because there's no Devontae Adams to feed. Now, Aaron Jones, he's going to suck up some more of those targets. The tight ends, they're going to, AJ Dillon, they're going to take some more of those targets. And Alan Lazard, I think, is going to see an uptick in targets. If Randall Cobb can stay healthy, he's going to see considerable work. Amari Rodgers in year two, he's going to have the upper hand on some of these guys just because he's been in the system. And the coaches have a better understanding of what he brings, what he is, what he does. So in a way, these rookies are in a better position than those rookies because there is no alpha one. But also, one of the reasons that Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown were able to be so effective is because you had Devontae Adams drawing attention away from those guys. And that opened a lot of other things up for your offense. Now, the Packers' offense that year was kind of a mess. Aaron Rodgers did not play particularly well. He was dealing with a tibial plateau fracture that whole season, so he's also dealing with this injury. And it was the end of the Mike McCarthy era. It was a season that ended in drama, in pink slips, in the firing of a Super Bowl winning head coach, and salacious details about their relationships coming out in subsequent reporting. Sports Illustrated, Bleacher Report, and other places. But what was going on behind the scenes? That was an ugly situation. We think there is more kumbaya behind the scenes in Green Bay now. But that could change, certainly, post-Devontae Adams trade. And now, what is this team? What is their identity? What do they want to be? That's something we're going to dive into a little bit more in depth. One thing I was thinking about, though, if you don't have Devontae Adams that you're worried about, what, at least in the short run, at least early, before we actually see what this offense looks like, what are you most concerned about? Well, you're most concerned then about Aaron Rodgers prestidigitating, and you want to stop the run. Because if you can stop the run, if you can make this team one-dimensional, then it becomes so much easier to defend them without Devontae Adams. I mean, that is the thing. If you are the Packers and you get to 3rd-and-8 and you need to make a play, the defense knows what you're doing. But if you have Devontae Adams, he can beat double teams. He can beat bracket coverage and cloud coverage. Him and Aaron Rodgers, what they can do is unique to them. If you're the Packers now, though, are there going to be teams that say early on, we think the best way to beat this Packers team is to roll a safety down into the box, even with all the two high safeties that everyone wants to play, and say, we think the most important thing to do now is to stop your run game, to not allow you to play balanced, to not allow you to get into your play action stuff. And we don't think your receivers can win one-on-one matchups on the outside. What works about that for Green Bay? Again, this is short term. Is single high coverage against the Packers when you have Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs now. You bring two guys in. This is why you need speed. This is why Matt LaFleur, post Devontae Adams, said this offense needs speed. Because if teams are going to play those single high looks, you have to be able to threaten them vertically. You have to be able to threaten them over the top. And you have to get them to reconsider playing those single high safeties. One of the reasons why Green Bay's offense was not as efficient and not as explosive in 2020 as it was, or in 2021 as it was in 2020, is because Green Bay on the ground was not able to make teams pay. When they went to those two high safety looks to mitigate the downfield passing game, to shade someone to Devontae Adams' side and still have a safety deep, The Packers could not make them pay for that by running the ball effectively. If teams are going to play too deep, you have to be able to run the ball against them. It is the calling card of the Matt LaFleur offense. They couldn't. You want to see an answer to why the Packers went out and spent real draft capital in offensive line in this draft? Great reason. They have to get better up front. Sean Ryan does not have the traditional movement skills on tape of offensive linemen that the Packers would like, but guess what? He is strong and he moves bodies. He can move people in the run game. Now you get A.J. Dillon, you get Aaron Jones coming downhill, and they have to commit that safety. You can go over the top, play action into Alan Lazard, into Christian Watson, into Romeo Dubs. It's why it's also essential that those guys block. Because if you can be unpredictable by personnel, that makes you that much more dynamic moving forward. We're going to talk about some tweaks that we might see in relation to these concepts coming up after this. But today's episode brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's futures, NLF. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. NLF sounds like an NFT, but someone didn't quite get it right. I don't know. Head to the website or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I was thinking about this idea of not that Devontae Adams leaving made the Packers better, but if teams are going to play them differently, how does that approach the way that they might scheme up their offense? If teams are going to say, we want to play more man coverage, more single high safety, how does that affect the way that they want to play? I think in a lot of ways, it makes it easier to be more creative. It makes it easier to get to some of the man beater stuff that we saw them run in 2019 and to much, much success in 2020 when they just meshed teams to death. And then teams are like, yeah, we're not going to play man coverage. Even if it is against some receivers that, you know, are not scaring most teams. Alan Lazard is a terrific possession receiver who is a hell of a blocker. He is basically a tight end in the run game, and you can scheme up stuff in play action for him. But he's not going to go out and win a bunch of routes one-on-one. He might win some, but he's not Devontae Adams by any means. He's not that true number one. Now, I've been saying for months that I think he can do more in this offense. But if teams are going to play a bunch of man, you've got Christian Watson, who's going to have to learn, get a little stronger to get off press. He's got the feet to get off press. Does he have the strength and the frame to get off press? Romeo Dubs, he can get off press. I think he needs to get a little stronger as well. Amari Rodgers is going to be mostly in the slot, so not that big a deal. And we know Alan Lazard is what Alan Lazard is. Same with Randall Cobb. They're going to need to get more creative in the ways that they deploy these guys and in the way that they manufacture opportunities for them. We've been saying this for months now, ever since the Devontae Adams trade. This is going to be more about what Matt LaFleur can do versus what these guys can do in year one. After that, it's going to be about the development. What can Christian Watson become? What can Romeo Dubs become? How can they grow and add to their game and elevate to their game that can make this offense shaped in a different kind of way? So I went back and looked at how Green Bay played last year, and they played three receiver sets. So 11 personnel, 61% of the time. That is bang on league average, but their success rate. So a successful play, you're getting, let's say on first down, you're staying on schedule. And then after that, you're getting at least half of the yards to gain that you need to get. So their success rate was 49%. But if you look at when they played in other kinds of personnel, in 12 personnel, so with two tight ends, they had a 55% success rate. That was second best in football behind only the Kansas City Chiefs when they had two tight ends on the field, usually Mercedes Lewis and either Big Bob Tonyan or Josiah DeGuara. And that's what those guys, not being great, but it allows you to be so multiple run pass. And now if you can block and you have more speed guys, Devontae Adams is the best receiver in football. But if you put Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs out there in 12 personnel, you have more explosive speed than the Packers could put on the field last year. Now, they're not better. Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Devontae Adams being on the field, better receivers. Better. It's better. But it's different when you have two guys who can run the way that these two guys can. That allows you to get into your play action game a little bit differently. It threatens defenses in a different kind of way. It puts more doubt in the minds of corners or safeties. What's going on? If you look at what Green Bay was out of 21 personnel, they had a 59% success rate in 21 personnel and two running backs, right? Jacksonville, now they had three reps, so that doesn't really count. Kansas City, the only team that was better on any sort of real volume. Think about that. So is this a situation we're going to see more often? When you have fewer receivers, are you just going to do the thing that makes intuitive sense and just say, we're going to put fewer receivers on the field? Especially in an offense where last year you were more efficient playing in these other ways. That makes a lot of sense to me. Even if your two tight ends that you're putting out there are not field tilters and the two receivers, they're not field tilters. Now, the flip side of this is, yes, if you don't have great receivers, put fewer of them on the field, but the fewer you put on the field, the more their flaws are magnified. If you put two receivers on the field and one of them is Devontae Adams, you know he's going to win his matchup every single time or something close to it. If you have to put Alan Lazard and Christian Watson out there, you're introducing more variance than you had last season. Now, part of this is just scheme. You have to trust your scheme and you need to get better in the run game. You need to get better production from your tight ends. You have to hope that Big Bob can stay healthy. You have to hope that Amari Rodgers takes a little bit of a jump. You have to hope that Christian Watson is ready to go. Some of these things are attainable. They're not unrealistic. They're not, you know, trying to shoot the moon expectations. But there's still questions that need to be answered. So if you're going to play more heavy personnel, can you be better running the ball from heavy personnel than they have been over the last couple of years? Can you be more efficient by being more balanced? Can you get the... And look, if you've been watching me on YouTube or listening to me on the podcast for any length of time, you know I'm not pound the rock guy. I'm not established the run guy. But I also understand that there is a relationship between run and pass. And that for your offensive linemen, you need to be able to give them opportunities to do both. So for the Packers, I think there is a double-edged sword of, well, just play fewer receivers if your receivers are not great. Okay, that amplifies the mismatches. If you're playing against a team with one good corner and you're playing just two receivers, well, now that corner has a bigger advantage than if you're going to put three receivers out there and the nickel has to be out there because that nickel probably not going to be as good. So the Packers are going to have to find that balance. It's not an easy balance to strike. And if you go back to, say, 2019, when the Packers had to play that extended period of time without Devontae Adams, a month without him, and they go 4-0, and it was the Aaron Jones show. Well, then what you saw was a commitment to the run game. You saw Aaron Jones taking over, and you saw Aaron Rodgers kind of take a back seat a little bit. I mean, if you go back and look at the numbers from that Cowboys game when Aaron Jones was unbelievable, and Aaron Rodgers, Geronimo Allison here, a little bit there, a little bit in, and you know, it was mostly just throw the ball in the right place on time, enough times to convert enough first downs to let the other guys do their thing. And in this case, it was Aaron Jones. And it was a very similar situation against Kansas City. Make a couple magic plays. The throw to Jake Kumerow in that Kansas City game in 2019, unbelievable. The touchdown to Jamal Williams, absolutely unbelievable. But that offense worked because of Aaron Jones. If you're going to take Devontae Adams off the field, I think you need to be able to find ways to create mismatches anyway. Is it Aaron Jones in the backfield? Is it Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon on the field more? I don't know why we did not see that more. And I think if I had to put a reason on it, it was the injury to Kylan Hill. Because I don't think they wanted to tax those guys if they didn't need to. Now, I don't know why just playing one over both is really that different. I guess they're both potentially subjected to hits on the same play if you have them both out there together. So maybe we'll see that a little bit more. The Packers really like Patrick Taylor. And Demetri Goodson goes out in minicamp and gets an opportunity. Kylan Hill recovering. We'll see where he is when you know, actual camp opens and training camp and the pads come on, where he is. This is a Packers team that is going to need to get more from less. And when I say less, I don't mean less players or lesser players. I mean actually less players, because I think they're going to play in 12 more. They're going to play in 21 more. And that means individually, they have to be a little bit better. Guys like Alan Lazard has to be better. Christian Watson has to be ready if he's going to be out there. Because when you close down that space and when you close down the personnel on the field, you're allowing the defense to say, okay, well, we have two corners that we think should start on the outside. They're both out there now. If you're playing four wide receivers or even three wide receivers, now you're forcing the defense to make decisions. Who do you want covering your best receiver and where? And this third corner who's not as good, even if he is, you know, the slot is good, then the secondary boundary corner is probably not as good. There's just not that many secondaries that are like Green Bay's where you have three really good players. So do you want to attack their weakness, or do you want to try and create mismatches with your own players and say, okay, well, we have guys that can do this against you. And so that means X, Y, Z. It's going to be a weekly chess match that this team is going to have to try and play. And this is where I think we're going to see, you know, I was wondering if we would ever get really a chance to see Matt LaFleur have a chance to win Coach of the Year, because I thought he deserved it last year. I thought he deserved it the year before. And the conclusion that I came to was that it was going to require Aaron Rodgers to move on for Matt LaFleur to really get a fair shake at it. And I don't think that's true anymore. I think Devontae Adams' departure will allow for us and the casual public to see what those of us who've been paying close attention, what I think diehard Packer fans have known for a couple of years now, and that is Matt LaFleur is an elite coach who's an elite schemer, who gives this offense opportunities to manufacture stuff and allows Aaron Rodgers to manufacture stuff. That balance is essential, and that balance is going to be more important than ever this season. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto has prices that are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com now and see all the parts available for your car, truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen Locked On NFL. The schedule may be dark, but the NFL never stops, and neither does Locked On NFL. Get insights and opinions from hosts including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts like me, repping all 32 squads. There's no offseason for real fans, so make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. We have Stacey Dales on the program tomorrow. We're going to have Jason Hirschhorn later in the week. He wrote a great piece today on the UDFAs, guys who could make the team. This is something that he pours just so much work into. It is a labor of love for him. And no one is better to give you a broad and very, very targeted look at these guys, because I think it's nice to have both, right? So Jason's going to be on the show later in the week to talk about that. We have Stacey Deals tomorrow from NFL Network to talk about the draft. Jason Hirschhorn to talk about UDFAs and a lot more coming up this week. We're going to look back on the 2019 class. They say you need 3 years to grade a draft. So we're not going to grade the 2022 draft. We're going to go back and look at the 2019 draft and figure out what was good, what was bad, what lessons we can learn. We'll do that coming up later in the week. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, you can do that 920-341-3775 to stay Locked On Packers.